Hey guys, welcome to the director's chair. This week we're doing our first over the phone interview. We're speaking with Lee Lewis, who is the artistic director of Griffin Theatre Company, which is a fantastic theatre company based in Sydney, Australia. And the real focus of the company is creating new Australian work. And I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. We speak about a whole range of topics, and I think you guys will hopefully get a lot out of it. So I won't keep blabbering on, and here we go. Enjoy.
Sometimes I'm just blown away by the craft of someone. It is an ecosystem. That's where all of the new talent will come from.
Send me 100 emails. I've got to do it.
500 years from now, these are the artifacts. The plays are the artifacts that will still exist to tell people who we were and what we thought.
A fantastic line to finish off. Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. Is this Lee?
Yes, this is Lee speaking.
Yeah. How are you going?
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I was just wrapping up another meeting.
Oh, that's all good. That's all good. Well, yeah, thanks for taking some time to have a quick chat with us.
Sure.
That's very good. Now, look, I might just jump straight in. Our site's obviously based in Sydney, but we do actually probably get most our traffic from over in the US and UK and kind of all around the world.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Maybe just be best if you kind of just tell us a little bit about what it is you do for everyone and also for the kind of international listeners.
Okay. Well, as the artistic director of Griffin Theatre Company, Griffin produces between 4 and 6 new Australian plays a year. And then wrapped around that enterprise are a raft of different initiatives and creative pathways for artists and development programs to ensure that we are the country's leading new play production theatre.
Yeah, right. So that's kind of the mission statement of it, almost.
Probably because I'm working on a lot of mission statements at the moment. I kind of sorry if it came out sounding like that.
No, it's a good one. It's a good, succinct, very good. Yeah. So why is that important for you guys to be creating new Australian work or new local work?
Well, it's our national treasure. 500 years from now, these are the artifacts. The plays are the artifacts that will still exist to tell people who we were and what we thought on a deep level, not on a fact level, but on a people. The plays that we choose to put on are indicative of thoughts that are living in our communities today. And so what they know, what they will know 500 years from now is that we chose to do that play for a reason, that it did reflect thought of the time and that people stood up there and spoke those words and they were reacted to, and they'll be able to tell from, if they want to, from the industry records about how many tickets were sold, whether it was popular, whether it was not. But they'll have actual contact to words that were spoken in our time and that mattered to us. So essentially we're creating that storehouse. It's interesting, every year we're contributing, nearly 6 new works to the Australian canon.
And
I think that's quite extraordinary. It's we do more new Australian plays in any given year than any other company in the country.
Yeah.
And I don't think other companies should be doing it. We specialise in it, and we can do that. No, I mean that. I mean, I think it's very hard for the big theatre companies to support a new work because their venues are bigger and you have to get much larger audiences, so it's a very different type of play that you're looking for. Whereas we can take some really difficult works and find an audience of 105 people a night for it.
Do you find that there is an audience for it?
Oh God, yes.
And
there's not one audience. There are many audiences in this, fabulous kind of crazy city. That what is it? Clevermore was saying over 200 different nationalities, with recent heritage in different nationalities. In Sydney, and so you go, there are a lot of different audiences and different ideas and a heritage of migration and of you know, immersing yourself in a new culture and the cultural navigation, if you like. So it's an extraordinary city to be making work in and to be looking for a range of works that represent the diverse ideas of this city. It's a really fascinating job, seeking out your voices.
On that, what is the process for that, for finding these new works? Because obviously, there is a lot of them, but I imagine
I wish there were a science. It's not. Yeah. It's a mystery. I spend a lot of my time traveling around the country and around the city, seeing readings, seeing independent shows, seeing productions in other places, talking to people that run local theatre companies. I can't get to everywhere, so I try to pick up the phone and talk to artistic directors of other smaller companies. We've got, you know, when I talk about that raft of different development programs, you know, I spend a lot of, you know, we're not a huge company. We're quite tiny. So a lot of that falls to me to be in conversation and to be, I think, as accessible to the artistic community as I can be, which, you know, drives my family crazy around Christmas time. But again, that's part of the deal. Me and I have an associate a couple of days a week, Ben Winspear, and between the two of us and the Griffin Award and things like that, there are a lot of ways of finding works, but you'd be surprised how quickly word travels. Someone sees something interesting at a fringe festival in Adelaide and says, oh, there's this writer, I think they're in Queanbeyan, or I think they're in Western Sydney, and you go, oh, yeah, really? And you pick up the phone and you call someone who's working out there, and they go, oh, yeah, you're talking about him. And I go, yeah, okay. And they're like, well, we're not sure if he'll still be in the country because he's a refugee and he might be sent back. And I go, oh, yeah, right, okay. You know, so so it's not me going to everything. It's being in conversation with a lot of people and watching works. Writers and works work their way towards being interested in having a play here. It's a pretty traditional little theatre. It doesn't look like it, because it's tiny and the shape of the stage is a bit odd. But it still is a place for plays. And there are theatre makers out there that are not playmakers, and so don't want to put a work on here. But that's okay. They'll still come and watch. Yeah.
So on this, I find this very interesting. Are there kind of common qualities you seek in these plays? Are you looking for things that say tell an important message or just great writing, or is it kind of a mixture of those? Is there particular things you go, oh, this would work well at Griffin, or are you just kind of looking
sometimes,
to be impressed?
It's all of those things. Sometimes I'm just blown away by the craft of someone. And I'll go, this is a really conventional play, but I want that craft on the stage in the scheme of the year. I want people to know that sometimes it's craft. Sometimes it's a voice that is really urgent, talking about something that's deeply important to us right now. And so I go, okay, that's no one else is willing to say that right now. And again, you couldn't probably say that in a bigger theatre company, so that's our job, is to make sure that voice gets a hearing. Sometimes I just inappropriately fall in love with something. I'm a director as well, you know. So there are moments where I go, oh, I just love this play. And I'm quite happy with there being a mystery sitting at the heart of what we do. I think sometimes actors will read something and they just fall in love with a role. And I think something has happened between them and the writing. Yeah. And if we had to talk about it, we could talk about all the different things that make that writing good or right time in their life or whatever that thing is. But something happens. I think it's like falling in love. Mm. Sometimes you fall in love. And
so, would you ever on that see a play perhaps at a fringe festival that is, you know, already, you know, in its final stage, already being performed? Do you then put that on, or is it typically?
I could, yeah.
Yeah.
I could, because sometimes a fringe is just a pathway towards looking for main stage production. It depends on what the artists want. Sometimes they're doing exactly what they want, and sometimes you say to them, "Would this work?" I saw Declan Green's Summertime in the Garden of Eden in a garage, I think somewhere in Fitzroy, maybe. I don't know the suburb. I'm not from Melbourne. And I was like, wow. Now, he didn't want it on a main stage because it was kind of complicated to navigate it to main stage. He was happy with getting it at Griffin, and they brought it up as an indie show. But they'd never done it for more than, I think, 4 shows in a row. And suddenly they were in a 4-week season. So he had a whole group of performers who were going, I got to do this every night. You know, so I think that's one of the reasons why he wanted to keep it in an indie space. So that was Absolutely, you know, a work that found a home here very well. And I'd love to find ways to do that more for indie artists around the country, actually, to let them bring works that they've done in another city here. So that we can give them an audience in Sydney, and they can actually, sometimes Sydney's a really hard city to get a foot in the door in. You know, and I think with our little space, I think we can probably provide that opportunity for theatre makers around the country. I'm still figuring out how to do that and how to fund it. But I've also got indie artists in other states working out how to fund it as well, where they go, we could get some traveling money, and I've got a friend with a couch. And I think there's that level of enterprise, which is really exciting to me in the artistic community, that says, no, I want the opportunity, and I will kill myself to get it.
Yeah, it is, and it is happening. It seems more and more. I mean, your current show was originally a Black Swan show,
yes.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah. Do you feel, is that happening more and more?
Well, the play was at Black Swan. This is a different production of it, so it's actually a second production.
Right, sure. But do you guys do co-pros?
Yeah, we do co-productions with theatre companies around the country. And then, that thing of conversation. The House on the Lake was a conversation with Kate Cherry. We couldn't afford to import that whole production. And also it was done for a huge stage, but we really wanted that story on a craft, for me, a craft level in the scheme of the year. I wanted that writing on the stage. And so she very graciously released the rights for it. So that's about the conversation about what's the best thing for the play. And I think we're in quite a great age of that amongst all the different companies. The conversations backwards and forwards about working for the good of the playwrights and the good of the plays is actually quite wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So there is a sort of environment where everyone's working towards creating the best.
The best way of supporting those works, you know, as we're talking about, you know, co-productions and that sort of stuff. I mean, it's a big thing for the big theatre companies to partner with us in that because we have a small space, it can be a great thing to, in that first outing of the play, to focus on the dramaturgy of the work and the relationship to the audience and all that sort of stuff, and then amplify it into one of their bigger spaces. We're starting to do that more and more, and it's becoming very useful for them to essentially, so Griffin becomes their out-of-town tryout, you know, and for the writers to be able to see the works translated into very different shaped spaces, I think is invaluable.
Another thing, I mean, obviously, just speaking to you already, you can hear the passion in your voice about all this, but was it a conscious choice for you to go into the theatre world, or was it one of these things where it kind of just happened as a series of events? I mean, why did you choose or fall into theatre as your sort of medium of expression, if you will?
It's always been that for me, and I do mean always. I found the theatre when I was 3 years old, and I just never left it.
3 years old?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep. I was a bluebell,
right.
And I found myself backstage and on stage, so at home, more at home in that space than I had ever been in my life, and I just kept wanting more and more of that, and so I that feeling never changed, and I don't care what theatre it is. I walked into the Kennedy Centre with Rupert. And we had only 3 hours tech, and even so, I felt, as soon as I was in the auditorium working on the play, I felt completely at home. And for me, it's always been that. I just, for some reason, I found it really early on, and I'm very lucky in that way. So, and every year, I've worked in TV and film, and I like it in different ways, but it doesn't have that, it doesn't have, I don't know, the air that I breathe with the actors and an audience is just, I don't know. It's the thing that gets me up every day.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's brilliant. I might just shift gears a little bit. So obviously the site is mainly really focused at actors, resources for actors. So yeah. I think people will be very interested to get your perspective on what kind of qualities you seek in actors, if you're working on a play with actors or...
Oh, yeah, new plays. Oh, look, there are some actors that are not very good at new plays. And
right.
I don't mean that that's a bad thing. They're just better at more established works where they can have a confidence, where they know that this has been done before and it was successful before.
So what do you think that is? Do you think that's them going, not trusting the work itself.
Yeah, sometimes a new work a new work is really hard to trust. It leaves you out, it pushes you out on a limb and leaves you there for quite a long time. You know, it's, and I think that you have to have actors that work, not trying to paper over that, that they work at their best when they're not in a safe, in a safe place, if you like. And I use that sort of carefully because I know it can mean different things in different ways. But sometimes the actors who are really great at new works relish the challenge of walking through the new snow, if you like. There is no footprint to follow. There is no path. There is no choice that you know is right. You know, there are those great, amazing production books you can get on Shakespeare's plays, which details all these different choices that people have made that were extraordinary. And you can go, oh, yeah, I could do that, or I shouldn't do that because someone's done it. You're in conversation with how to perform something.
Right, right.
You know,
yeah.
Or you saw someone do that role way back and you think, oh, I'd love the challenge of that. But you know that somewhere along the line it worked, there was some success. And I see that a lot with new international works. They're a step easier. Like, even though the audience doesn't know that they're going to trust it, the actors do because they know it worked in London, it worked in New York, it worked in Chicago. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And honestly, those works have had a lot more work as a result. If something's been in production before, kinks have been worked out, questions have been answered, the published script is usually pretty solid. Mm. Or at least someone, if you call and ask the question, they've got an answer already for you, as opposed to, oh, I don't know, I never thought about that. You know,
yeah.
And so the actors that I'm looking for have a certain courage and a curiosity. And I would also say, given that most of the time new works are written for now for a reason, they're talking to something that's going on in people now. Generally, there tend to be actors with a great deal of observational skill, people who are actually connected to the day-to-day politics of the city. They go, yeah, I know, I was reading about this. And they're people who are connected, as opposed to actors that go into a more internal space to work.
Mm.
They've also got to be comfortable with text changing out from under their feet in the course of rehearsal.
Right, yeah.
You know, structurally things can change and can absolutely change how you're going to think about that. So they're clever at committing to the idea of a character rather than details of the character.
Mm.
You know,
so when perhaps you're maybe auditioning a new actor or something, would you then push them quite a lot to see how they can adapt to direction well and try to – how do you kind of pull work this out, you know, from an actor? Or is that a lot of instinct,
It's a lot of instinct, and you know, I tend not to push too much early on, to be honest, because sometimes it can make actors feel like they've got to jump through hoops. It's more for me the conversation, and I try to when I'm auditioning put actors in the room with other actors just to see how they are in receiving information from someone else. So it's less them performing by themselves, but actually just being in a room with other people, how are they?
Mm.
You know, if they're reading a bit of the play and, you know, it starts going super fast, how are they?
Mm.
You know, just and rather than setting it up, just seeing how they react to the room, I think, is a big thing for me, how comfortable they are, how part of the conversation they're comfortable being. You know, sometimes I cast without audition if I've seen something, a quality in them on stage and something else.
Mm.
Yeah, it's bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, kind of loosely related to that, we get a lot of questions, people wondering, you know, the importance of kind of a formal training or, you know, various sort of training methods and things. And obviously you've worked with, you know, a lot of actors over the years. Do you feel the training, maybe having gone to a formal institute, is usually a beneficial thing for young actors?
Yeah, it depends on the place that they go and the time in their life. I think it can be a good thing. It can sometimes be a damaging thing if they're with the wrong combination of teachers. I wish that more Australian actors would question who their teachers are. And test the teachers, audition the school as opposed to auditioning hoping the school chooses you. I think that I would like that if that were that way a little bit more, where people research the teachers and add questions for them about what matters to the teachers, to see if as humans they want to be in a room with those people for 3 years. Do you know what I mean? I wish that actors would be brave enough to be a bit more front-footed in that and actually decide not to go if they don't have a genuine connection to the teacher. Because I think that the training as an actor goes on through your whole life. You work with someone else who's extraordinary, and they are part of, you know, it used to be a guild training, you know, you just used to go out and work for a repertory company and do little parts and build up, because that company used to train you, essentially. Other actors used to train you, and the directors used to train you. So there's still that layer of the guild, if you like. You work on a show with an amazing actor. You know, I defy anyone to work in a room with Peter Carroll and not come away just knowing so much more about your craft. Do you know?
Yeah.
So there's still that layer, and you're still going to keep learning, and you're going to go, oh, I heard there's this amazing teacher that really helped me with this, and you go, oh, maybe I'll look them up, and you find them, and they're doing a course, and you go along. I think the longer you do it, the more you realize you have to find teachers who can help you at a particular time with something you're interested in, and whether that's a physical technique or whether it's voice or whatever you're feeling insofar as your craft, you go, I just need a little bit of stimulation in this way. I was just talking to an actor who found a particular connection to Meisner, and there was a teacher over in London, so he went over there for 6 months just so that he could be with that teacher. And you go, okay, that's interesting. I'm interested in actors who are curious about their craft and how they work to help themselves.
I think it's a great point. I think, because a lot of people, I mean, more and more, there's so much kind of training out there that people kind of go, you know, and it's so marketed that it's great. Like, you do need to be clever as an actor, I think, to go, like, what do I actually need to do next? Where am I struggling? And, yeah, it's a great way to look at it, taking some of the power back, I think.
Yeah.
What, on that, I mean, do you have advice for young actors, or perhaps actors who've just come out of drama school, in terms of, from your point of view, what works in terms of moving a career forward, I guess in this case in particular in theatre, but in general as an actor?
I think there's a layer when you've just graduated of having to figure out some of your life stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a period of time where you actually just have to figure out how. It's not about, everyone's okay when they're working. They figure out, you know, that's kind of when everything's cool. It's when you're not working, how do you live? And I don't mean just paying bills, but that's part of it. How do you not put all the pressure on the thing that you love, and the thing that you want to do all the time, to answer all the needs in your life? So yes, finding other ways to work, and it's not always just about the paying of bills. It's about that in between time, something that actually feeds you creatively, and whether that's just being in contact with people. You know, it's that funny thing. All of the jobs that you have are research. So what are you researching? I don't think working at a bar for 15 years is a good thing, but working at a bar for a year might be a good thing. You know, moving yourself around and being able to be a bit of a chameleon in your life can actually help. So gathering a range of life skills, I would say, and being willing to do that, being comfortable with fluidity, and discovering if you are. Because sometimes I think if people go to drama school because they're talented but too young, they don't know if they're comfortable with an idea, with a life of change. Some people need a life of structure and regularity. And if you are that, then maybe actually living the life of an actor would be a torture to you. But if you did end up in a big show, like a Neighbours or a Home and Away, where that regularity is there, it might be perfect for you, and you might be on that show for 20 years, whereas someone else might be driven crazy by that. I think the more you can live to find out how you need to live to be your best creative self, I think that's part of the exercise. And I do know that does mean that some people go through that training and doing really well, but actually don't like the life.
I've been out 2.5 years from training, and I think that is probably the biggest thing that you hear a lot, because it is just a completely different lifestyle, and a completely different lifestyle to, I mean, drama school is very structured, and
yeah. And it's a completely different lifestyle to probably pretty much everyone else you know, apart from other actors.
Yeah.
So there's
exactly.
not a lot of, I would call, community sympathy for it.
Mm.
You know, I don't mean like feeling sorry
totally
for.
Agree.
I mean like community understanding of how it is that you will live. And that can extend to your family, not understanding how that is. Like, you know, my brother got married. I actually couldn't go because I had a tech week.
Mm.
But you kind of go, that thing of family understanding that your life will operate differently and that, no, you can't walk out on a tech week is kind of huge. It goes against a lot of other things, so a lot of other relationships and things like that. So I think there's there's time that needs to be spent if you're discovering how to live as an actor, and then how to create a flexible enough world where you can go into and out of very intense working periods. I suppose there are other jobs that do that, like the fly in, fly out guys that have to, the families have to figure out how to live like that, you know?
Mm.
But there, if you are in relationships, there's going to be times when you're really absent from that relationship because all your creative energy will be going into this play. So is the person you're with okay with that?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of discovery
of
that.
It's very practical, isn't it?
Yeah.
what it comes down to.
Yeah, there's a big layer of practical that's got to do with the life of an actor as opposed to the creative life of an actor.
Mm. Can I ask for you, I mean, obviously now you're probably in a slightly more stable position, but still, were there certain things for you that kept you sane, if you will, or kept you creative when you had periods where you weren't working or... these in-between periods or periods where you weren't feeling perhaps creatively energized, or did you what did you use to kind of get through it or to keep you going?
Look, complicated for me because I've never been out of work.
Right.
I go the opposite direction. I'm in that thing of say yes to everything.
Right.
Is kind of the way my brain works, because work leads to work. So I've worked on stuff that's, you know, unpaid at 2 o'clock in the morning. a lot of independent work, saying yes to just trying to get in the door on different places, and. Eventually, I think that turned into income.
Yeah, right.
But my problem
is
actually doing way too much
rather than
trying to pace myself.
Yeah.
But that's something, again, someone figuring out the way they need to be. I had one point where I thought, fuck it, I'm just going to quit. This was like quite a long time ago. And I had a research job. Again, that funny thing, the balance of things. I was working for, you know, full-time on different acting gigs that weren't paying very much. So I had a research job for a brokerage firm. This is way back in America. And I thought, oh, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to become a broker and make a lot of money and that's it. And then I got a job and I was supposed to start on Monday, but then someone called me and for a really low-paying job producing a comedy film festival. I went, yep, okay, I'll do that instead.
Mm.
And I don't know, I'm glad that I did. But so there was one point I do remember, but it was quite a long time ago, where I'd been on a job for a long time and it was just, I was sort of creatively a bit dead. Mm. But I've never had like a really long stretch where I've been out of the theatre world, if you like.
Yeah. Would you recommend that nowadays, you think, still as a good kind of mentality for young actors to just be putting themselves out?
Yeah. Say yes to everything. Work with everyone. I think sometimes people are too careful. I think you can, like, something might be really dodgy, but you go and you read and you do, and then it'll disappear. Do you know what I mean? Or it might lead on to something. You don't know. And I think there's too much stress in anticipating which are going to be the great things that will lead to more work and which will be the awful things. I don't think things are that awful. You know, and I think doing things like just keeps your performance, reactivity, and strength up. Because I think you do need to keep elastic. And sometimes you're gonna be in a room with really bodgy thing, something really bodgy, and you'll go, "Oh, what am I doing here?" But you're there, and you turn up, and it's the discipline of the work, I think, of always turning up, that you start to build. And yeah, I just think it's too hard to try and pick the right things. That was my thing. It's too hard to do that. You pick things that you love and do everything else as well. And it's not an instinct towards survival I have at all. There was one year where I directed 14 independent shows. It was stupid, and I was dead on my feet at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But it was an amazing year.
Mm.
And I just went from show to show to show, and I loved doing these different things. One was for a kid's school. One was, you know, at the new theater. One was something else. You know, it was kind of crazy, but kind of awesome. And I couldn't have told you which ones at the beginning. There were the ones I was looking forward to, ones which are supposed to be my, like, big shows. But there were other ones that have just stayed with me experience-wise for my whole life since then. So, again, it's too hard to anticipate which is going to be the great one. I think we worry ourselves to death sometimes.
No, I think that's great advice, yeah.
Do everything. just count the cost of it later. Seriously?
Yeah. I've probably just got a couple more questions, if that's all right. I think one thing I hear from a lot of maybe newly graduated actors or young actors is it feels, and especially for actors who maybe come from drama schools interstate or have just moved to Sydney or moved to Melbourne, wherever, getting in front of or getting involved with the theatre companies like Griffin or Belvoir or really any theatre company, you know, you hear a lot that, oh, it's so hard to get into there, it's such a clique or it's such a closed-off community. Is there any, like, without giving everyone your personal email, is there, what do you say to actors, like, if a young actor, you know, listening to this conversation goes, yeah, I really want to do new Australian work, that excites me. How do I get, how would a young actor get involved? How does someone get in front of you and show you their work?
Look, combination of ways. We have open auditions every year.
Yep.
I know there are a lot of people that apply for them, but there are people that hound me for an audition, and that's totally fine. I have no reaction against that. I go, yeah, right, okay, this is the fifth email I've got. Okay, sure.
You know, really?
Like
it's,
because it's a thing of the hardest thing is actually persistence and not taking the lack of reaction as rejection. It's that impression of being a closed community is really to do with lack of resources. So there are not a lot of people. There's me and my associate 2 days a week to deal with everything creatively in the company. So do you know what I mean? When it comes to, oh, is it this person or that person at the open audition? I don't know. So if there is someone that's 5 times sent something, I've gone, oh, yeah, okay, sure. But it's not, my lack of getting back to someone isn't malevolent in any way. It's just lack of hours in a day. And it's that thing that things just slip by. So people that don't take offense at the lack of response. People that that persistence, I think, is really important. When I got out of directing school, I had a meeting with John Bell, and he was like, "Oh no, this is very, very nice to meet you." He said, "Well, I can't offer you anything next year." I said, "Well, I'm not going anywhere." And he said, "Send me an invitation to a show that you're doing, and I'll come and see it." I said, "Thank you." And I think it took about 10 shows, sending him invitations to about 10 shows before he actually came to something.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was not, on no level do I take that as an insult. He missed some very good theatre. but it wasn't like, oh, John didn't come, so I'm not inviting him again. He's like the artistic director of a large theatre company who's doing all these other things. And there are, in the neighbourhood, if you just look at the main stage and the main indie spaces in Sydney, there are about 160, 170 opening nights a year. And you go, okay, how do you get someone? Like, you've just got to keep going. And at a certain point, you see a name for the fifth or sixth time, and you go, oh, they're still going. Oh, that's awesome. And so they really do mean it, because the first point of contact, everyone wants to do new Australian work. Do you know what I mean? Like everyone says, oh, yeah, I'd really love to. So if everyone's saying that, how do you cut through that? There's no way to cut through in an instant. There is no magic bullet for that. It's the persistence and the finding other opportunities to do it and letting me know that you're doing that. And I go, oh, yeah, right, that person. Oh, okay. And it builds up. And then at a certain point, yes, it's absolute guilt. I go, oh God, I've got to go. I haven't made it to like so many of
them. You've sent me 100 emails. I've got to do it.
On some level, yeah. Well, you look at an indie show and you go, oh God, there are 5 people I know in that. Okay,
yeah.
I've got to get to it somehow. But it's that funny thing of kind of going, how many nights a week out am I good audience for? Do you know, like,
yeah.
Is that, I mean, how many nights out a week are you seeing
shows? Do you know what I mean?
You want to be a good audience as well. You don't want to just be
very,
a...
What's your kind of average these days?
Between 4 and 5 nights a week.
Yeah, right. Wow.
Yeah, between readings and shows and shows at Griffin. You know,
is there anything on at the moment you would really recommend?
I really enjoyed Grounded.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought that was beautiful work. I really, really enjoyed that immensely. Now I missed Dolores.
Right. That was a fantastic, fantastic play.
Yeah, I heard. get there. I couldn't get there. You know, there's another one, a late night one at the Fitz this week. I'm not going to get to it because we've got a show opening at Griffin this week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm at Griffin. Friday morning, I jump on a plane because we've got Masquerade opening in Adelaide. So I've got to be there for Friday night there. And I come back and see a show on Saturday. And I fall over on Sunday. Do you know what I mean? So it's sort of, so it is that thing of like, and I got an email from an actor that I've worked with a number of times. Lee, I'm directing the show over at the Fitz. It's on for this week. And I was like, I'm really sorry. I'm not going to make it this week. I hope it goes really well. Do you know, so it's kind of, and that's someone that I know really well, and I go, oh, you're directing, awesome, okay, not going to see it. So it's just a really interesting thing of people keep doing things, to keep doing. And that thing of not taking offense, it's, and I would say that across all of the companies, people are out and seeing and are interested in finding new people and letting new people into their companies. It's just days in the week. Every single company is under-resourced creatively. I mean, they may be big companies administratively, but the creative teams are pretty small.
Yeah. Actually, I'd love to just get your opinion quickly on, there's been a kind of few articles circulating about, you know, things happening within the funding bodies and sort of the smaller companies struggling a little bit. And just kind of to ask your opinion on what you think the value is of the independent companies, like you mentioned, the Old Fitz, which is a new theatre company for anyone who doesn't know it. Great new theatre company, and companies like yourselves, which are kind of between the two. What do you think is the importance of keeping those sort of more independent companies going? And
The independent companies will keep going by themselves. They do. But that's the ecosystem. That's the training ground for making theatre.
You only
learn how to make theatre by making theatre.
Yeah.
You know, you can talk theory all you like. You got to get up and do it and do it again and again and again and hive that information into your body. So that's what independent artists will always do, is find a way to work. But it is an ecosystem. That's where all of the new talent will come from, will train itself to be able to stand on main stages. You know, whether that's directors or designers or actors, it's, this, you know, when people talk grassroots, that's grassroots. You know, and you either believe in it or you don't. I don't think you get to excellence without a lot of practice, and I think that's the practice ground.
Actually, just one final question I was going to ask earlier is just, do you see, it's a very general question and a bit of, a lot of people really struggle answering this question. Do you see there being a goal to theatre as an art form? Do you go into it going, with our shows, you want to pass this message on? Or do you have an opinion on that, what you see being the meaning of putting on theatre?
Make the world a better place.
Yeah, right. Cool. And doing that by stories or by messages or just do you have is
look I do
not,
it, I
not
do
be
it.
Very clear
no
there,
no no,
but,
no
you know
I know what
I mean.
You look
yeah.
I know what you mean. I think for me it's not about the what we say but how we say it. Because I'm not a journalist. I didn't look to be a journalistic expressor of idea. I do it in a fictional and imagined place, because I think by playing in the space of imagination, you work towards lasting change.
Mm.
I think you imagine futures for people and build a direction for a society to go. And you only do that in the imagined space.
Mm. Yeah, beautiful. Well, I think that's a fantastic line to finish on. Thank you for we went a little bit longer than
that. Totally fine. Happy to talk. Very interesting talking to you today.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you
so much for talking with us. And cool. We'll see you soon. Is there any other, just quickly? So you've got the House on the Lake is the show. Just open on the 15th, was it?
No. Opens on Friday. Wednesday.
Oh, it opens on Wednesday. Oh, sorry, I'm looking at the previous times. Yeah, cool. Well, I'll definitely get along, and hopefully anyone listening also get along if you're in Sydney. Or fantastic. Thanks so much, Lee.
Sure.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, cool. Okay. Bye.
Bye.